This is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. This is why I kneel before the Father. Every ethnic group in heaven or on earth is recognized by him. I ask that he will strengthen you in your inner selves from the riches of his glory through the Spirit. I ask that Christ will live in your hearts through faith as a result of having strong roots in love. I ask that you will have the power to grasp love's width and length, height and depth together with all believers. I ask that you'll know the love of Christ that is beyond knowledge, so that you will be filled entirely with the fullness of God. Glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Glory to him in the church and in Jesus Christ for all generations, forever and always. Amen. And now, let us pray. Still speaking God, be with us this morning as we celebrate your love and compassion and seek to find truth and light in your holy word. Amen. Now, if you were one of our UCC Puritan forefathers or foremothers, and you were in church in Enfield, Connecticut, on July 8, 1741, you would have heard an amazing sermon. The guest preacher that day was theologian Jonathan Edwards. Edwards today is widely acknowledged to be one of America's most original and important philosophical theologians, and as one of the greatest intellectuals of the time. Edwards pulled no punches with his now famous and very long sermon titled, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. As you sat in straight wooden pew on that hot, sticky summer day, you would have heard him say to you, your wickedness has made you as heavy as lead, tending downwards with a great weight and pressure towards hell. If God should let you go, you would immediately sink and swiftly descend and plunge into the bottomless gulf. All your righteousness would have no more influence to uphold you and keep you out of hell than a spider's web would have to stop a falling rock. There are black clouds of God's wrath now hanging directly over your heads, full of dreadful storm and big with thunder. Were it not for the restraining hand of God, that wrath would immediately burst forth upon you. The sovereign pleasure of God for the present stays his rough wind. Otherwise, it would come with fury, and your destruction would come like a whirlwind. Wow, what a cheerful message. It's widely reported that when Edwards preached this particular sermon, which he did more than once, congregants cried and fainted in the aisles. I didn't see anybody faint. This type of message is the doctrine of the faith of fear. It's designed to maintain social order through the rule of fear. Now, in 1741 in the New World, life was still very tenuous. The wilderness was all around. Winters were long, and the Puritans were very far from Europe. Moreover, relationships with the Native Americans were becoming unpleasant and tense as the colonists encroached further on Indian lands. Colonial social order was of critical concern. Social order was a matter of survival. Well, we're now in the 21st century, and we've come a long way from the 1700s. Yet this type of message can still be heard today in many churches. In a faith of fear, God is depicted as in the Old Testament, vengeful, swift to anger, jealous, and willing to condemn people to eternal torture in hell. Perhaps that's the type of God that you learned about growing up. Now, you've heard me say that the United Church of Christ is a denomination of individuals who are free to believe in their own way. No one will stand in this pulpit and tell you what to believe. But that carries with it a responsibility to think about these matters for yourself and to decide what you think is the nature of God. Generally, in the United Church of Christ and here at this church, we see God as loving and forgiving, compassionate, understanding, and in relationship with us. Within the UCC, we say God is still speaking. As the prophet Isaiah tells us, God says, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Do you not perceive it?" And within that newness, God cares deeply for each of us as if we were the only one. This is a God that is interested in our salvation, not our damnation. The UCC Statement of Faith also reminds us that God's salvation is available to all. The Statement of Faith concludes with a list of God's promises to all who trust God, including eternal life in God's realm, which has no end. And yet, we each have the freedom to resist God's offer of salvation and forgiveness. Edwards' sermon tells us that we're all wicked sinners. Frankly, as I look out at you from here, I don't see a single person that I would classify as wicked, or sinners for that matter. Perhaps when you were young, you were given a list of things that were classified as sins: lying, gambling, playing cards, dancing, whatever. But did anyone ever define sin? If we're to avoid sin, we need to know what sin actually is so we can decide for ourselves. The great theologian Martin Luther said in the 15th century that sin is turning from God. For Luther, sin does not refer to sinful acts, but to one's basic condition as turned from God towards oneself. Baptist theologian Stanley Grentz writes that sin is our inability to be what God desires us to be, our failure to fulfill God's intention for us. So sin is willfully not doing what we know that God expects, or sin is rebellious opposition to the divine purpose. For Jonathan Edwards, we are all sinners by our nature, and God is going to send us to hell for punishment. Even today, many Christians believe that only a select few will make it to heaven and live in peace and joy. For the rest of us, we will spend forever in torment and punishment in hell. Stanford professor of religious studies, Thomas Sheehan, writes, "The concept of hell first came into Israelite culture during the 70 years of the Babylonian exile, which ended some 500 years before the birth of Christ. It came from the Zoroastrian religion that taught that the world was the scene of a dramatic cosmos struggle between the forces of good and evil, led by the gods Osmerund and Arathun. But this conflict was not to continue forever, because according to Zoroastrianism, history was divided between the present age of darkness and the coming age of light. Sheehan explains, as Israel's political fortunes faded and Zoroastrian ideas took hold, Judaism shifted its focus of its religious hopes from political salvation to survival in an afterlife. Jonathan Edwards and others have preached hellfire and damnation ever since. But we don't live any longer in that type of culture. To me, the doctrine flies in the face of the teachings of Jesus, who talked of a God of forgiveness and love. It also raises some questions. Would God punish us forever for something we did in the few years that we were alive on earth? Why would a creator give life to something innately sinful, bound for eternal suffering? Why? Can such a God be considered loving while also leaving his beloved children to suffer conscious torment forever? And if that were the case, does that mean the central message of Christianity is one of no hope? Times have changed. As author Rob Bell writes, there are many people around the world that continue to understand sin, guilt, and atonement in these ways. But most of us don't. What the first Christians did was look around them and put the Jesus story in language and images that their listeners would understand. Today we read in 2 Corinthians, God was reconciling himself to the world in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. In 2 Timothy, it says, God has saved us not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And in Ephesians, which we heard today, the Apostle Paul calls on us to have the power to grasp the width and length, the height and depth of God's sheer love. We are part of the United Church of Christ, and you are free to decide for yourself about the nature of God and how creation is ordered. As for me, I prefer to believe in a compassionate, loving, and forgiving God, a God that wants to be in relationship with us, a God that wants us to live in harmony and to care deeply for each other, a God that, as Jesus told us, will welcome each of us home at the end of our earthly life. May it be so. Amen.